Welcome to Greencast, episode 2. This time with original music. How lovely is that? I'm Patrick Cook. And I'm here with my brother Daniel. And obviously you like it better than dubstep, so that's a good start.
Way better.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Also calms you right down, which is nice because we're definitely not used to recording the podcast yet.
But for you, it's dangerous that late in the evening.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's 9:30 p.m. I might fall asleep. Yeah, that's one of the fun things of this setup because we currently have 8 hours time difference. Is that right?
It's half past 1 p.m. My on my side.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a bit different between summer and winter time because we in Queensland, Australia, we don't have summertime, which is nice. Kind of nice. Not so nice with the people who work with people in Sydney. But anyway, not the topic of this podcast. This is the second episode. And the first episode was actually really fun and unedited, which we didn't expect. So we will aim for the same thing here. We'll see. And this episode is recorded before the Patreon goes live. And will probably be the last one that we record before the Patreon goes live. So what I would like to do is essentially do a, I'll just call it a predictive post-mortem of the Patreon. So I guess it's a bit inspired by normal post-mortems for games, but I feel like whenever I read a post-mortem, you know, I get the feeling that the post-mortem is written well after the game was released. And then it's sort of bit of confirmation bias where they explain why they were successful because they already know that they are successful, or they explain why they failed because they already know that they failed.
And it's basically just like pointing towards that went wrong. So yes, such postmortems are there as well.
Yeah, which we hopefully won't have to do. But this idea, I mean, originally I had it for Tavern Keeper. Like before we released Tavern Keeper, I would really love to do a post-mortem with the entire team and do essentially two versions, you know, the best case and the worst case. And then, like, that's not quite that. Like the idea was a good case and a slightly not so good case of the result, like a prediction, what will happen and why. And then... originally I thought we post the one that doesn't fit. So if we get successful, we post the one that explains why it's a failure and the other way around. But I think it might be a bit complicated. Anyway, so this time we do it for the Patreon. So what I want to do is ask you a couple of questions and we can just discuss and just do a mini postmortem about the Patreon. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the postmortem. How did it go? How did the Patreon launch go, Daniel?
Well, it was quite a challenge. I don't know. I guess there. So the question is it now the best case or the worst case post-mortem? Like, hard to say now, right?
Let's go with your predictive case, the medium.
My predictive case.
What do you think will happen?
So I hope that we are not flooded by patrons, kind of, so to not be able to communicate with them in a really good way. So basically, it would be cool if it gets picked up quite well, but not too much, and of course not just one or two, because then it's the community itself can't communicate that much with each other, kind of. So, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. This is not good enough. I want numbers. Like, numbers. What's a good number of Patreons?
Two, you and me.
I'm not signing up to my Patreon.
I don't know. I would say between 100 and 200 would be quite good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So not first day, of course, but like first weeks. First week,
right?
2 weeks,
yeah,
something like that.
I mean, what's the old theory, right? You 150 is kind of a maximum number of a good community, but I don't think that is necessarily true for Discord or Patreon.
Yeah,
but sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess And I will, you know, I of course will provide my own predictions as well. I'm just using you as the easy, tell me what you think so I can go off that. I don't know, really. I mean, we can look at some of the data, I guess, that we have, like how big is our reach on social media? What's our newsletter? What's the opening rates? But honestly, who knows? Because like newsletter, we have a lot. We have 140,000 people on there. But you know, last time we sent anything out, the open rate was like 25%, which apparently is still better than the industry average. And then the open rate, like, well, the click rate, where someone clicks on the link to something, which is kind of essential for Patreon, was around 2.5 to 4%, I think, which is sort of industry average. I think we can do better than that. But then, you know, if you take that and then say, well, 2% of those will convert into actual patrons who who will you know, be interested in what we offer, then yeah, that huge number of newsletter subscribers comes less and less impressive. So I think your estimate of saying, okay, well, let's hope we get to 100 in the first few weeks is it's pretty good. I mean first day we should definitely get over 10, right? I mean, if we can't convince 10 people to sign up to this, then...
then it's, I guess, a fail. So, well, yeah, I guess either our outreach was just not enough, or did the wrong target, kind of, which seems a bit odd if we take the newsletter, of course. Either we just targeted the wrong people, or our outreach itself was just too low, like the visibility of that's what we are doing. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So worst case, 10 people. Good case, 100 to 200. Best case. What do you think after a week, let's say? What's the best case of Patreon numbers?
That's an interesting question.
I mean, you already said you're afraid of people because you don't want too many.
to be honest, I'd say 150. Like that would be the best case in my like gut feeling from me. Because if you have, right, let's say you have thousands of people in the first week or first few weeks, then you're just struggling with the start because you're not used to it. Like you're not used to communicate with such a huge group, and the group itself is not used to communicating with each other's kind of, because all are new and fresh.
I'm a little more optimistic on that. I think best case, I mean, obviously, there are two numbers. Actually, there's a monetary thing and the numbers of patrons.
Sure.
With the numbers, I think, you know, you will get different people. Like the lower tier gives you access to the podcast predominantly, really, and Discord. So not everyone will want to communicate every day. So I guess even if you have 300 people, it doesn't mean like the chat will be completely overflown every day by things. And I think there are multiple servers out there with quite a number of users that do really well. So I'm not afraid of a bigger number than 150. That's, I guess, what I'm saying. Best case though is, yeah, it's super difficult. I mean, with the goals, I kind of went, you know, if you're one of the first 10, that's kind of cool. If you're one of the first 100, I mean, that's really cool. And then the next goal, I was kind of struggling because if I just keep going like that, it's kind of pointless. Like, you know, but the first 1,000 people is actually, it's really weird. And whenever I hear like 1,000 people or 2,500 people, I don't know why, but I have to think back on, hey, the village in Austria we grew up in has like how many inhabitants?
Yeah.
It's like almost 3,000, right? Yeah, so this is super small. Like actually. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, okay, numbers, we've done. Next question. I don't know, actually. What worked well?
That's an interesting question. I guess everything. Like it's kind of the best. Like when we're speaking about best case scenarios. What worked well is the reach outs to the player. So we got enough eyes on the Patreon. The community is communicating great. We can answer a lot of interesting questions and tough questions. That would be cool.
Okay, you get the tough questions. And I'll take the interesting one.
Okay, and we are able to just get out to the people to provide interesting stuff, like interesting behind the scene views and or behind the scene opinions and stuff like that, yeah. which I guess will be really exciting.
Yeah. Before I answer that myself, what didn't work well?
I guess our tier layout. Our tier layout is more or less just a gut feeling right now, and that could be quite high percentage, like that the probability of that being not really good, maybe just mediocre, might be quite high.
So you're saying people will say, "Hey, I would have signed up, but there's no tier that fits what I want."
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I think what worked well. And originally I thought the question was more like, you know, of the process of creating a Patreon, what worked well. But I guess you answered in like what worked well with the launch, which makes sense, given that I haven't told you anything differently. So I will now try to answer that. What worked well? I hope, best case scenario, no one thought Tavern Keeper is releasing right now. That's my fear, that people will see, oh, you know, Greenlight Games hasn't said anything in a year. Tavern Keeper must be out. And then they go in there and the first thing is like, what does that mean? Oh, there's a Patreon. Oh, I can sign up here and I get Tavern Keeper. And then halfway down the page, they realize, no, it's not there yet. And you don't get access to that. And we get a huge backlash from people saying, you know, what are you doing? Like, why do you create something where I can't get the thing that I actually want? And is what am I talking about? I'm answering what worked well. See, I immediately went into what didn't work well.
Went down.
Okay, no, reverse. Let's just take back. So people read this and think, oh, yeah, I get that. That's behind the scene access. It's not Tavern Keeper. And I'm not annoyed about that because I actually want to know what's going on. There. And, you know, one of the things that annoys me as a follower of Greenhead Games is like they're just not communicative. And I want to be part of this new group and know more about the game, and I'm excited about it and I want to have input and all of that. And that's the what worked, and I already answered what didn't work. If exactly that doesn't happen, then I think it doesn't work well. So that's my answer, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good one. Definitely. I hope we are at the first part, like the second answer, but your first try, like the good case.
This will get so confusing.
Yeah,
now.
True.
All right. So with the project itself, like creating the Patreon, I guess, you know, we should give a bit of background info. We did that in the first episode, I think, where we talked why we're doing it and that it has been quite a long time that we thought about it. So taking the question of the process of creating the Patreon itself, what worked well? I mean, I guess there's no, like, you can actually just say what you think right now because we've done it, right?
Well, I can't say that much in particular because I was not that involved in creating the Patreon. Of course, we discussed a lot and stuff like that, but I mean,
yeah, I mean, someone's got to finish the game. I mean, not everyone can just,
true,
you know, work on the Patreon all day. So thanks, Daniel, for sticking with the game. But yeah, I mean, you might have a even better high view then, because you were on Slack, you saw all the communication and whatnot. What worked well, do you think?
Well, in my opinion, it was a sleek process, so to say. So it didn't. It wasn't
as smooth as the music.
Exactly. Not that much overhead, so to say, not many decisions kind of revoked five times or something like that. So it was kind of, that's our idea, let's discuss that and getting to a decision and then more or less just doing it, which is a bit simplified now, but basically, that's my impression about the whole process. So,
yeah, I would definitely say if I hear myself saying that, it's definitely hindsight bias. Like, I feel like being part of the process, there was definitely a lot of, oh, I don't know, what's the tier exactly? Should we have that there? What should be the focus there? But anyway, I will try to answer that as well. But first, what didn't work well from your perspective?
I don't think there was anything in particular which completely didn't work. I guess some things like I think preparing stuff for the page itself, like artwork and phrasing of texts and those things could have gone better, but it's not we are doing that the first time, so it's understandable yeah. that it's not perfect with the first try, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of regretting that I didn't answer the first question myself and then this, because I feel like now I will answer that first. But anyway, I'll try to say what worked well. I think it was what worked well. Yeah, I think communication worked well. Like, there was hardly ever a case where there was miscommunication or misunderstanding, and the input internally from the team was really good. And also with our marketing partners now, they gave some really good advice on, you know, this is could be rewritten and whatnot and that kind of thing. And yeah, I think that worked well to create it. I think there is not really, like, everyone is a bit hedging their bets, I guess, on whether this will work that way, because it's kind of new in a way. Like, I'm not aware of another game dev company that provides just behind the scene access like we do here. There was a lot of discussion around that. So what didn't work well, in my opinion, like, we wrote the page. I mean, first of all, it was a lot more work than anyone thought, again, every time we do anything like that. And that is kind of concerning for the long-term success of the Patreon, because if everything takes a lot more work, then, you know, it might not be worth it. But I hope the community itself is worth it. So that's one thing. But it's also a justification.
The question is how do you know if it's worth it, right? So of course, there is the monetization stuff. Like, you can financially say if it's worth it or not, just effort and outcome, kind of. But I think that's just bullshit, kind of.
It's difficult to justify, because like $5 a month sounds a lot, right? But if you think about it, like, it's not repeatable content. It's just made for you, really. If you're a patron, then if you join the Patreon, then we make content every month for you that's only used for that purpose once, kind of thing. And, you know, if we make a game, then we put all that work in, but it's scalable. Like, it doesn't matter when you start buying the game, you get the content then. So I think, I don't know. I mean, I think it sounds kind of expensive at first, but when you think about what it is, like custom made content for a particular small group of people, I think it makes a lot more sense to then say, okay, this is the monetization for it. I mean, even t-shirts, right? If we introduce a new t-shirt, we might pay $200 or $300 for the design alone of that t-shirt with revisions and whatnot. And that's not even taking, you know, any of the production. And then if you say, well, you make $1 or $2 profit, because the profit margin isn't very good for t-shirts and merchandise, you would need a whole lot of sales to make that up. So I think it's more like subsidizing almost that, right? The Patreon allows us to do these kind of things that would otherwise not make much monetary sense. Simply because we then have a group of interested people who we want to give that, and the subscription fee supports that as well.
Yeah, true.
That's the way I see it anyway.
Even if it happens that the Patreon itself financially doesn't make sense at all, it might make sense in general because just about the community, right?
Because of the community.
Like you have your community, you can communicate with your community in a good way and stuff like that. So maybe even if it's financially a minus, it might be worth doing it or continuing it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, a good thing is we can talk about that in the future because we've decided to keep the financials public. So everyone will see how many. Everyone will see if we have 10 patrons and what those 10 pay to be there. Okay, what didn't work well from my side is like we... Well, it's actually not what didn't work. It worked really well, but it was just a surprising amount of work, like a lot of work. And that was, I wrote the page, we got some graphics in, and then we kind of thought, hang on a second, we need a video for it because every successful patron has one and, you know, people want to see something.
I love it.
Geez, I mean...
I love it.
I think... Yeah, well, thank you. But all the credit goes to Chad, really, because I think he's done like, I don't even know how many revisions, but I think they're in dozens at least. And because we're working remote, every revision was almost like a day in between. So, I mean, we started working on the Patreon, really started on the 1st of April, I think. And it wasn't until, 2 weeks later that we really had the final version with everything ready.
That's true. But you got really cool outtakes, so.
Yeah, it's awful. I have a lot of respect, newfound respect, refreshed respect, I should say. It's not newfound, I always had respect, but refreshed respect for streamers and YouTube content creators and whatnot, because being in front of a camera is very different from, writing code.
Well, just being in front of a microphone is scary as well, so. Especially if you're not used to it. Like, I guess somehow that's as well a reason being a developer, right? Because you're just behind your computer and doing stuff without that much contact to the outside. So,
yeah. I mean, I think that was more. I guess the thing of what a developer is changing all the time as well, and it's actually good that we're kind of breaching against that stereotype. You know, there's more people becoming developers and whatnot. But I mean, for me personally, I definitely think part of what I like about making games is that I can just focus on a thing without having to worry about anything else for a while, right? I mean, especially because we work remotely. Like I spent, funnily enough, I think 3 or 4 hours trying to figure out how to add all the podcast tags to an MP3 file because none of the tools did it automatically. And stupidly, I think, you know, not stupidly, that's what every developer does. They see like, okay, I could do it manually every time I create a podcast, but we want to do a podcast at least once a month. So, you know, the time I spend now doing this tool that I write custom to do this, I can save later. But then the library I'm using doesn't do all of it. So I had to actually get a second library in the thing. And today I actually changed the code in one of the libraries because it didn't have the feature of that. It just escalates.
So did you do a calculation afterwards how many podcasts we at least need to create until your tool is kind of zeroed out effort and effort-wise kind of?
Ladies and gentlemen, you hear live why Tiffin Kipper is delayed. Yeah, no, I didn't. This is the thing, right? You commit to something. And then, I mean, today I actually thought because I could not work out how to set up one particular flag that apparently only iTunes cares about anyway. And I was just like, okay, I've spent 2 hours on this. No, it wasn't 2 hours. It was 40 minutes. And I was like, okay, this is enough. I've done enough. No one will actually care. And the Patreon podcast is for the Patreons primarily now anyway, so we'll see how it goes. But anyway, so yeah, the video was just insane. I think and the graphics, as you say, it's not like it's anyone's fault really, but as a team, we're just not used to it. Like I was talking to Chad about the video and he was like, yeah, you know, it's fairly all right. It's fairly easygoing. And I was the same. And we both came to the conclusion, well, it's fairly easygoing if we do it more than once every 5 years. You know, if we do it more of it, then you build up more of a skill.
Yeah, and tool chain and stuff like that, you know. Like, you're just getting used to it, so you know exactly what to do next, kind of.
Yeah. Which is really my hope for the Patreon, because, like, we never wanted to do a Kickstarter because that sounds like a horrible thing, right? You have to spend so much energy in a month to pump out content, to get people hyped up, to sell milestones and unlocks and whatnot. And we never wanted to do that. But in a way, like the worst case for me really for Patreon is that this becomes like a never-ending Kickstarter where we always have to, you know, pitch more and more and do more things and hype people and whatnot. So I think, hopefully, by setting it up so that we don't promise the game and the content itself, but also like kind of sell it as like, this is the community that we want to foster. Hopefully that will help counteract that problem in a way.
Yeah, true. And I think it's easier for us than to react and act about content creation for Patreon and stuff like that. So we kind of are able then to change things on the way, right? Like if we see, okay, that doesn't make sense at all, like maybe no one wants our t-shirts, right? Then those t-shirts which we already made are there, but there is no. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually, I take my answer back of what didn't work well because it's definitely the t-shirts that they didn't work well. It's actually ridiculous. Like, I think I spent like a week researching merchandise options. And just to give you the quickest summary, because I know I've ranted to you a million times about it, but essentially, if you only want to provide t-shirts to the US, the UK, and Germany, you're good because there's Amazon merchandise and we use that. And it gives you really great shipping, good pricing points, easy returns, that kind of thing. But for anyone else on the planet, there's really not that many great options because either you have to do it yourself, which after a lot of research, I declare impossible because there are so many taxation rules and import duty rules and stuff that you have to worry about if you want to make it legally correct, that it's just not workable. Like you have European Union, all the VAT stuff that you have to collect and remit to people, but the Australian government does the same thing. There are certain other countries that started doing it and whatnot. It's just not workable. And the few providers that actually handle that for you have massive shipping fees. So they have like $10 for just one t-shirt shipment for anyone outside of. Yeah, which is hard to sell then. The margins are really bad. So we actually tried our best, and I'm already sorry about that, but we will launch the t-shirts on Amazon and then on a second provider that we found has the best, compromise essentially. But it still comes down to the thing, if you're not in those three countries, then we can't provide you with a better deal. And it's just a matter of, yeah, we have to accept it. It's not, as soon as there is a provider that allows us to do this, we do it because for us, the t-shirts are not about money making. It's really about, getting more content out there that people hopefully enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. So I will order them, but unfortunately I can't, at least at Amazon.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm in Austria and they ship to Germany only, I think. Like not Germany only, but excluded Austria. So let's see.
It's interesting.
I guess Chad needs to buy mine and send it to me or something like that.
yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, usually what would you have you handled? Worst case scenario, best case scenario, what worked well, what didn't work well? I guess the other typical post-mortem question is a bit senseless because usually you ask, what could we do better next time?
Well,
I don't know. There is a next time. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess we could answer it anyway. What could we do better next time?
I guess nothing, because the only things you could do better next, except outreach and stuff like that. But from creating the Patreon, nothing, because if you can do it better, you are doing that all the time. Because the most things we did wrong or not that good was just, first time. So.
You're breaking down my theory of why postmortems have to happen afterwards. You're right. I mean, we can't answer it unless we see the mistakes happen. I mean, one thing I would say is that I should have given up on the international merchandise way earlier than I did, because I spent way too much time investigating shipping costs and tax rules.
Or we should have done it already 4 years ago, the whole process.
Yeah. Then we would talk about finishing Game Dev Tycoon right now.
True.
Okay. All right. Well, I think this is probably time to wrap up Greencast episode 2. But yeah, we have one more thing. Like, you know, we had an intro and an outro last time. This time you heard already the nice intro. And that brief that we gave for the intro and outro, it was like, okay, we want a mix of tavern keeper feel, like tavern feel and business and whatnot. And then I went in at the last moment and say, I want a trumpet too. And well, they did it. So with that, I'll leave you all and I hope to see you in episode 3. Welcome to episode 2.1, I guess. This is an addendum, and we are trying at the moment to nail the intro. The plan is I will say my name, and then Daniel says his. So my name is Patrick Klug.
And my name is Daniel, and it worked perfectly.
Yes, fantastic. All right. So hopefully in future episodes, this will be just as smooth. Anyway, you just listened to us and you might be thinking, hey, wait a second, I thought this was over and I'm sorry, but it is not, because we were thinking, well, we did a predictive postmortem, but what point is there if we don't tell you what actually happens? So this is a recording that is happening now 6 days after the Patreon launch, and we will do a quick comparison of what we think would happen and what actually did. So here I am. First of all, let's talk about Patreon numbers. Now, we gave a worst case description or prediction actually of 10 patrons and a best case of 150 plus. Although I think that was kind of for 1 to 2 weeks. So we're not quite, you know, there yet. We're kind of halfway. And our prediction was about 100 for the first week sort of thing. Now the actual number is 60. So yeah, how do you feel about that, Daniel?
Which is quite okay. So at least we didn't hit the worst case scenario.
That is right.
No, but it feels fine. So on Discord, there are a lot of people already there. We are talking quite well there. Everyone is interested. We are happy to share things. So it feels really good.
Yeah. And we had, I mean, it's kind of an emotional roller coaster, I think, when you release something, because you hit the button and you send things out and whatnot. And the beginning, it was actually quite a lot of people came in. And then after kind of 4 or 5 days, it slowed down significantly. And at the first, you know, I was like, oh no, you know, we're not going to get there. But then you kind of reflect and it's like, what does it really matter? I mean, as long as it works. And also, it doesn't really matter that much what happens in a week. This is a long-term kind of approach, I guess, to see what we can build here, right?
Yeah, and one advantage of it is, of course, slower ongoing process to fill up the community, kind of. So we are better with starting the whole thing, right? So we are not overflown by a lot of requests and stuff like that. So we can just grow ourselves into the whole thing.
Which goes back really well into your worst case, because you were actually afraid of having too many people. So I guess you have to be happy.
Yeah, I'm definitely am.
All right. Yeah, the other thing we haven't talked about. So in the podcast, we actually said, well, everyone can check out the financials and whatnot because we put it public. Now, after we published that podcast, we actually decided to make this a goal for the larger community to reach. But obviously, you know, for the patrons who are already in there, we will share it. So at the moment, we're at 60 patrons generating about $383 per month, which honestly to me was surprising, like surprisingly good. Like, you know, we were afraid that the tiers were not be well received and whatnot, but that definitely didn't happen. Most people are in the $5 or $20 tier and they really want to be involved, which is a good sign, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a surprise for me. So I was thinking about most of the guys will be on the lowest tier just to have a peek at the things we are doing. And that definitely didn't happen. So that's cool.
Yeah. So the other thing we've predicted is the reaction to the Patreon launch. Now, the worst case was the Patreon tiers are not received well, so people would not be happy with what we offer at the different price points. People would be angry that Tavern Keeper isn't here yet. Did that happen?
Well, it didn't, which was great. I'm a bit angry that it isn't here yet, but it's a different point. But we're working
on
it. It's
like every time someone says on social media, you know, oh, I can't wait till I have this game. And I was like, yeah
me
you
neither.
Know, you're not alone there, buddy.
Yeah. True.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so our best case was said, well, you know, everything works well, no one is angry, and people are not angry that they don't get the game as part of the Patreon, because that is kind of an interesting bit about our Patreon. It's behind-the-scenes access. It's not actually, you know, crowdfunding for the game itself. And our prediction was it's somewhere in between those things. But I think what actually happens is definitely towards the best case. Like, we had only a few people say that, you know, they don't agree with the strategy. Well, a few, I say one person, I think. It's just that if you hear one, then you kind of think, okay, there is a group. But I think if you look at the actual replies, it's just one person that said that. And yeah, most people were happy to see and join this.
Yeah, and I'm even not sure if this one guy who complained about like having a paywall to be part of the community and stuff like that is still thinking the same. So I'm not sure because I didn't hear from him.
Yeah, we did reply.
Again, so.
Yeah, I mean, we did reply to him and clarified, you know, that for example, the podcast is kind of just delayed. I mean, it's sort of early access, it isn't a paywall. It's,
yeah, sure.
You get the content at some point. This kind of thing anyway. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I feel like for me it was interesting. It was, as I said, an emotional roller coaster. I also had to remind myself that, hey, the Discord is going well, even though there isn't that much content we put out yet in the first week. But you know, this is a long-term thing. Like, we are preparing a status report at the moment on what happened in April. We have a couple of podcasts ongoing. We have a couple of showcases that we want to do. So there's definitely things in the pipeline. And I think we just need to trust that, yeah, we don't stress ourselves too much by saying, well, we have to post every day. Let's just do it organically and see what the community is saying and things like that.
Yeah. And as far as I can see in the Discord, the strategy is fine for everyone. So I can't remember any conversation where guys are saying, well, too not enough content and stuff like that. So I think it's good.
Yeah. No, folks have been really nice and positive about everything, which is fantastic. And yeah, that's I guess that's it for this addendum, unless we have anything to add to. Do you have to add
no,
something to the addendum, Daniel? Addendum 2. All right. Well, in this case, let's hear the trumpet on the way out. This has been Greencast episode 2.1, and episode 3 is actually already recorded, so you will hear that soon again.
Okay.